Well, do you know what is driving me crazy about Instagram these days? If you go on Instagram and you start looking at posts and you start scrolling down and you see all your friends and the stuff that they've put on there, and then you close that app, you walk away, and you come back a couple hours later, even a day later, even up to 2 days later, and you open up Instagram again and you start scrolling down, when you've scrolled as far as to the point where you get to where you were the last time, you start to see the same pictures that you were seeing the last time that you were on there. Instagram now puts up a little thing that says, you're all caught up. I hate that. I hate when I'm on Instagram and I'm going through and I get to that point and it says, you're all caught up. Do you know why? Because there's a subtle message that comes along with that. Here's the message. You were not all caught up. You were missing out. There were things on here that you should be seeing that you were not seeing. And you should be worried about that and concerned about that. You need to come back. But now that you're back and now that you've scrolled all the way through to the point where you left off, now you're caught up. And so make sure that you stay caught up. Make sure that you keep coming back. Make sure that there's not too much time left in between or else you're going to miss pictures. Be scared of missing out. There's something on here that you need to see. Is anybody with me? You're scrolling through and you got to get caught up and you're caught in that, just that whole mindset of, what if you miss out? What if you miss something? You need to see this. Have you ever thought about this? Who is Instagram's customers and what are they selling? See, if you are like me, just an average person on Instagram, they don't make any money directly off of you. We don't pay for that. And there's other apps like Facebook and Snapchat, all that kind of stuff. You don't pay them anything. You get a free app and you get to use their app for free. But these are companies that are making a ton of money. So who is it that's paying them? Where do they make their money and how do they make their money? It's really interesting to think about because we are not their customers. We are their product. See, Instagram is selling my and your attention. They are making money off of advertisers. Advertisers that pay them based on how many people are going to see their ads. Advertisers whose job is to say, you do not have enough, you're discontent in this area, I have a product that I want you to buy because it'll fill some kind of void in your life, and their goal is to get their ads in front of as many eyeballs that they think are going to buy their product as possible. That is the person that is the customer or the client of apps like Instagram and Facebook and all the rest of it. They give us the app for free because we become their product. Instagram's product is our attention. We give it to them for free, and they are selling it to companies. And so they continually remind us, you need to be caught up. You need to be caught up. You need to be caught up. You need to come back. You need to come back. I need your attention because I am selling it. Advertisers are paying for our attention, and we're paying attention for free. Does that blow your mind? I just didn't think of that until recently, and all of a sudden just going through that and realize they are paying for our attention, we're paying our attention for free, and Instagram or Facebook or so many of these different technologies and apps or websites are just kind of swooping in there and seeing the opportunity and saying, if I can get your attention, I can sell it to somebody else. And to make sure that we keep doing it, we keep going on social media platforms. They're always reminding us, come back, don't miss out, come back, don't miss out. There's so many different companies and people who have created apps to make that convenient for us, to make it easy for us to pay attention. And so we know Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all those kind of stuff. Most of them, if you're like me, you don't even have to sign in anymore. Your password has been just automated on there. You put it in and you said, just sign me in. You don't have to go online. You don't have to open your web browser. You just have to quick click of the phone and bam, quick press of a screen. And that app is right there. And all the content that you want, or maybe you don't even want it, you just instinctually go on some of those apps. All you do is press a button. It's right there. It's easy. It's convenient. Entertainment has become convenient for us. There was a time when there was nothing good on TV. Like, TV was on, programs were on when they were on, and if you weren't at the TV at that time, you couldn't watch them. Does that amaze you? Some of us grew up in a time where if you missed the time of a program, like did anybody, I'm dating myself, but TGIF, Friday night, and if your parents kept you away from the TV, you were out like doing something, it was like, guys, this is TGIF. It comes on Friday evening, and if I miss it, I miss it. That was the reality some of us lived in, but no more. Because very quickly on an app, you have Netflix, you have all your streaming apps, you have the websites that replay stuff. You can get it just like that. And we've done it because it makes entertainment better. And it's not just entertainment, it's our productivity and our efficiency. We can do better at work. We can do more. We can accomplish more. We can be more flexible. There was a time where you had to go to work, where you literally, if you worked in an office, you had to go to the office because that's where your files were, and that's where your coworkers were, and that's where your boss was, and that's where you had to submit work. But now, very, very quickly, with one click of your screen on your email app, there it is. Work is where you are, and you can work from everywhere. And we say, what a fantastic thing. Think of how productive we can be, and how flexible we can be, and how easily we can be reached, and we can work remotely, and we can work at different times. And it's all so wonderful. And I'll tell you this, you can also be lying in bed, ready to go to sleep and get good rest at 11 o'clock at night, and subconsciously, habitually, instinctively, a quick click on your email app, and you're at work. And your mind's at work, and your mind's drawn into the problems of the day and the problem of the next day and the problems that you have. And all of a sudden, you're lying there ready to rest and go to sleep, and now you're working. And do you know what's happened? For the sake of convenience, and listen, I'm not going conspiracy theory here. I'm not saying these are all terrible, horrible things and all that kind of stuff. But for the sake of convenience, convenience for many of us has become compulsion. Have you ever felt that? Well, it's so convenient to be able to go on Facebook at any time in any place without having to even go on, you know, a web browser and put in a password, just hit it. Internet banking, it's there all the time. I can do whatever I want with my banking. I can work. I can do email. I can do Snapchat. I could do. It's so convenient. But you know what's happened? It's become compulsive. For so many of us, that every spare second, every spare minute that we have, we don't even think about it. We just reach into our pocket, pull out the phone. Those moments that we used to have that were unfilled, we've filled them so easily. And so 2 minutes early at the bus stop means I pull out my phone and I bring up my news feed. You're at a restaurant with someone and they go to the washroom and the phone comes out. And who's posted something? And maybe I should post a picture of my food because everybody needs to see what I'm eating today, and that's the most exciting thing that people will get. And if they don't get it, then Instagram's going to remind them, you're not caught up, you're not caught up. Don't you know what Dave had for dinner on Saturday night? Oh yeah, I got to get there. Fear of missing out. FOMO, come on. Get my app. So convenient. But it's become compulsion. Do you ever find yourself, you pull out your phone and you're scrolling through stuff and you're like, I don't even know why I'm doing this. I checked Facebook 5 minutes ago. Like, this newsfeed I've seen 100 times a day. I get compelled to see how many steps I took today, and I just got to click and find out. And convenience, which has so many great advantages, so many things we can do, for a lot of us, has become a compulsion. Our attention always being drawn into a semi-conscious bath of online content, whether it's for entertainment purposes, whether it's news, whether it's work. And we kind of said to ourselves, as we've kind of been growing this experiment of social media and always being on our phones and always having access to all this information, that it's just going to help us to be able to pay attention to everything, and it's going to help us to be more productive and be more efficient. And in some ways it does, but in a lot of ways it doesn't. Researchers are finding that our attention spans are disappearing. They're getting smaller and smaller and smaller as we just crave these small bits of information that give us a little hit. Oh, I just want to see if somebody texted me, if somebody liked what I posted, if somebody emailed me, if somebody's paying attention to me. I just can't go too long without finding out what's happening in the world or with my sports team. And we just crave. I got to get more. But our attention spans aren't getting longer. They're getting shorter. We're having a harder time following longer chunks of information or staying with trains of thought. Correlations are being found. Studies are proving that there's correlations between spending more time on social media and a whole bunch of things. Lower levels of self-esteem and confidence, Why? Because we're good at comparing ourselves to other people. And when we're always seeing other people's highlights and the great things that they're doing and how they look and all the rest of it, and we start to wonder, do I measure up to that? How come that's not my life? How come my dinner's not as good as their dinner? How come my vacation's not as good as their vacation? How come I'm not out and doing something with my friends? I'm sitting at home when everybody else is posting things. Correlations between more time on social media and feeling relationally disconnected. And this is, of course, the irony that we are so connected in terms of our technology. We can connect with people all over the world at any time, and yet we feel less and less connected actually relationally with people that we know. People with weaker memories, lower impulse control, and higher levels of anxiety and depression. Do you know what's happened? Convenience has led us to compulsion, and we're suffering for it. So in this series that we've been talking through the last few weeks, and this is our last one in this series, we've been talking about rest and getting good rest and resetting some of our rhythms and enjoying all the things that God has given us and allowing ourselves to check out mentally and celebrate and just rest in the fact that God is working even when we're not, and to be able to really enjoy that as part of life. And one of the things that steals our joy and our peace is this compulsion that we have to always, always, always be on technology. The distraction that we have of taking those minutes and seconds that used to be open and free and filling them sometimes with very mindless things, things that we don't really need to see and we don't need to always see. But convenience is convenient. So I want to read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is a passage of scripture that comes just after one of the most important prayers for the Jewish people in the Jewish scriptures. It's called the Shema, which means to hear. And I'm going to talk about the Shema in just a few minutes. And we're going to work through it and what it means and how great it is. But just after that prayer, there's these instructions that talk about why this is so important and how you're supposed to treat the Word of God, the laws of God, this prayer, this whole idea. And actually the prayer that we'll read, when Jesus is asked about what is the most important thing, how do you sum up everything, Jesus, in the scriptures, his scriptures, the Jewish scriptures? And he breaks it down, and he starts by quoting what we're going to read in a few minutes from the Shema, which would have been a really common answer to that. This is what everything is all about. This is what everything builds up to. And here's kind of the instructions that come after that prayer. Deuteronomy 6, I'm going to start in verse 6. We're going to come back to verse 4. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Look at how, in just these few verses, the people are prescribed to treat this prayer and this incredible passage of Scripture. It is one of the most important prayers in Judaism, and one that they're told to repeat over and over and over. Repeat it to your children. Make it convenient for them. Make sure that they're hearing it over and over and over. Make sure that this is what they are going to think about in those seconds when their attention is not pulled elsewhere. In the moments where all of a sudden you have some free space in your head, what's going to come up? It's going to be that which you are continually filling your head with. And so repeat it over and over and over to your children. Talk about it when you're at home. Make it part of the rhythm of your family. Teach your kids at some point these important, deep, profound spiritual truth and make sure they know it. So find places when you're at home and when you're doing all the things that family do. And what are the things that families do? We eat together. We play together. We learn together. We worship together. Find, this is great advice, find some place if you have kids, you're part of a family like that, to go, hey, where are the times where I can repeat the most profound and deep truths of God to them over and over so that when they grow up, these are planted in their minds and in their hearts? Okay, maybe it's the time around the dinner table, one of the most powerful, profound spots in our lives where we really share with each other and give each other to ourselves is when we're eating. Maybe it's before bed. One of the things that we do with our kids, we always read before bed. And now making sure that we're reading scripture to them before bed. Maybe it's the first thing that you do when you wake up, that over breakfast you talk about how much God loves them. Read some scripture. Make sure that you pray together. Talk about it when you're at home, and talk about it when you're on the road. when you're at home or on your road. That's a way of saying all the time, wherever you are. Do it when you're not up to anything and you're at home, but also make sure you're repeating these powerful truths when you're on the road, when you're doing something, when you're going somewhere. For us, maybe it's when you're in the car and you have all this time, taking your kids on a trip or spending time with your spouse or your girlfriend or your boyfriend, and you're on the road. Well, we don't have time because we've got to put a podcast on. Or do we? When you're going to bed and when you're getting up, the first thing that you get in the morning and the last thing that you get before you put your head on the pillow and go to sleep, fill your mind with these beautiful, wonderful truths about who God is and how God is working. I might say that what he's saying here is to make it as convenient as possible to be reminded of God's commitment to you and your commitment to him. Technology is making it convenient for us to get our news and everybody else posts and all the stuff that, you know, we do on all of our apps. But maybe it's time that we think about how do we make it more and more convenient to be reminded of God's commitment to us and to be reminded of our commitment to him, to be reminded of what life is all about. He says, tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This passage and others were used to create the idea in Judaism, and some Jewish people still today will wear what they call phylacteries, which are these little boxes sometimes made with leather, and they literally tie them around their head and tie them around their hands, their arms. And in those little boxes, they put scriptures. Just little, small, written scriptures. And one of them, the scriptures that's often put in there is the Shema that we'll read in a few minutes, to be reminded. And why? You put them right by your eyes, right on your forehead, so that whatever else you're seeing that, the Word of God, being always reminded of it wherever you're going. Tied to your hands, why? So that you're reminded whenever you reach out and do something with all of your actions, what am I doing? And does it line up with what I know of God and what he's doing in my life? Make it convenient to be reminded of how committed God is to you and the commitment that you've made to God. In a world where so many things have been made convenient for us, this is something we need to work at to make it convenient for us to always be reminded of how much God loves us, what God has done for us, that he continues to be present in our lives every second, every moment, every hour, in every challenge and in every victory right there. So recently, I realized just how ingrained in some of my habits I am. My confession is I've realized over the last little while how often my phone comes out, and just even annoying myself with, why am I hitting this again? Why am I refreshing this again? Why am I looking at this again? And just, you know, I don't even need to see this. This isn't even important. This isn't giving me any great benefit to look at all these apps over and over and over and to check in. And I realized I've been doing it habitually. And so I started to realize, man, I got to change that. I got to do something about that. And so one of the things I did in the summertime, we were off a couple of weeks, and we were going up north with the family, and so I just realized this was really bothering me, so I took my phone, I turned it off, I gave it to my wife, and I said, do not give it back to me. Even when I tell you, I need some phone time, do not give it back to me. Just take it for 2 weeks. I don't need it. And if there's an emergency, she had her phone, people could reach us and all that kind of stuff, but I was like, I don't need it. And do you know what happened when I wasn't checking Facebook or Snapchat or Instagram or the newsfeed or the sports team stuff? Do you know what happened when I missed all of that? Nothing. It didn't matter. Nothing. So what? It just confirmed what I knew. There's some really important things I do with my phone, and I look at my phone and I gain access to my phone, but you know what? If I just leave it, nothing really changes. The emails are there when I get back. The important stuff is there when I get back. The unimportant stuff slips by and doesn't make any difference in my world. And so here's something that I've started to do. We've been talking about Sabbath in this series, the idea of stopping and ceasing. And one of the things that technology and how convenient it is does for us is keep us always on. We're always doing something. We're always thinking about something. We're always seeing something. And so now one of the practices that I'm working on is at certain times of night when I'm done work or in the evenings, I'll do the same thing. Just give my phone to my wife. Say, don't give it to me. I don't need it anymore. Or I'll leave it in a drawer for a while. Somebody needs to get me, I can probably get them the next day. If it's an emergency, they'll find a way to get through to me. on the day where I take off and I'm Sabbathing, I'm resting, do the same thing for the whole day. Just say, I'm going to put this in a drawer. I'm not going to bring my phone with me. I'm going to give it to somebody who won't give it back to me. I don't need my mind to be there because I want to make it convenient for me to hear what God has for me. I want those quiet moments to be available to me to hear deeper, profound truths that I desperately need. We sang this song this morning about being surrounded. It's like, you know, I'm surrounded. Sometimes it feels like I'm surrounded by demands. I'm surrounded by work. I'm surrounded by challenges. But what if we started to turn off some of the voices that always reminded us of those things, and we started to turn on the voices that said, don't you know, do you need to be reminded that you're surrounded by the presence of God in every little corner of your life? Surrounded by you. But sometimes we just need to turn things off and let ourselves be reminded. So what do you need to do to redirect your attention? Here's just some ideas I have. And again, I'm not saying, oh, we're going to unplug and we're never going to be part of technology. Of course, there's great things technology does for us and allows us to do, and it's good. But here's some things that maybe will help you, depending on where you're at with dealing with technology and how much of your attention it's stealing from you. Maybe you need to delete some apps. Just make it less convenient. Say, man, I need to be able to, I'm just going to put up another barrier. If I want to go on this website or that, I'm going to have to actually go into the internet and sign on. And maybe that just makes me do it less often because it's less convenient. And so some of those apps that you just hit naturally, you just hit instinctively, and it's a little bit mindless and it's stealing your attention. Maybe you just don't need those apps anymore. Maybe it's time to ditch your smartphone. Do you know you can find all kinds of ads, which is ironic because we're going to go on our phones, use technology, find ads, and you're going to find ads that are now showing you that a lot of companies are going back to selling flip phones because people are realizing, man, on my smartphone, I'm way too accessible, way too much of my time, way too much of my attention. I need to go back to having a phone that's actually just a phone. Maybe it's time for you to do that, to make that big step and say, I don't need to be this accessible anymore and have access to all this information that easily. Maybe I need to go back and experience some, this is an ad I saw this week, experience some nostalgia, go back to the flip phone. Oh, the good old days. Maybe you need to devote blocks of time to being screen free. Just say, hey, on that day of rest, for maybe you start with for the morning, for the afternoon, for that evening, our phones are going away, our tablets are going away. This is not going to be a time that we watch Netflix. Maybe they're just going to be those moments where you say, hey, today the afternoon is for our families and nobody's going to take out their phone. We're going to put all our phones in a drawer and we're actually going to go walk out in nature and look what's out there and experience what God is doing in the world. Direct your attention to God. Steal back those moments. Advertisers are paying for your attention, but we are paying for free. Maybe it's time that we start paying attention to what we're paying attention to and realize there's something better. And to have an alternative to say, God, I want you to get my attention again. I want to pay attention to you. And so to wake up with prayer every day before you start hitting buttons, app buttons, and all the rest of it, to go to sleep with the truths of Scripture in your mind, and praying before God about the day that's just happened, the day that is coming, instead of filling your attention, your mind, with just newsfeed after newsfeed. And how we do that, let's go back to chapter 4, and I'll just move through this short prayer with you, this powerful prayer that Jesus quotes as summing up so much of the law, loving God, and then he moves on and quotes Scripture elsewhere to talk about loving your neighbor. But here's where he starts, and this is so beautiful and wonderful, maybe something that you just want to spend some time around. It starts by saying, listen, O Israel. This is called the Shema, and the word listen or to hear in Hebrew, this is originally written in, is Shema, and so hear. Listen, perceive, open up your ears. I think for some of us here this morning, I think there are people that desperately need to hear that God desperately wants you to hear from him. That God wants to speak into your life Not just one time, not just occasionally, but on a regular basis. Will you hear? Not just audibly listen. Will you actually hear? Will you perceive? Will you open up yourself to hear from God? Will you steal back those quiet moments so that he has an opportunity to speak into your life? God wants to speak to you today and tonight and tomorrow. God has things he wants to imprint on your mind and on your heart. He wants to change who you are on a regular basis. Will you hear? Will you listen? Will you make yourself available? By quieting yourself. And to hear from him in every struggle, every victory, every task, and every quiet moment. God wants to speak into your life and into your heart. Then it says, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Here the translation in a lot of our English Bibles that are all capitals, Lord, L-O-R-D, all capitals, are a translation of the divine name that we often call Yahweh. The Hebrew people would translate that differently because the name is so sacred that they didn't like to write it, thinking that something might be damaged of those letters, something might be damaged of the letters of the very sacred name of God. They would just translate it differently. Here it says, Yahweh is our God. Yahweh only. Man, when our attention is pulled in so many different directions and we're reminded all the time of the demands that are put on us and the expectations that are put on us, sometimes we have a hard time believing this. See, the Jewish religion is a monotheistic religion, but if you actually read through the Old Testament, you find that there's all kinds of instances where they actually believed there were other gods existed, but they were always told, put no other gods before me. Yahweh is your God. Whatever gods other people might believe in, you might believe in, you might think are there, we exalt Yahweh above all things. He is the one true God and him alone. This is a reminder of that. This is a teaching of that. For many of us, when the threats come and the expectations come and the stress comes, we forget who God is. Sometimes we think we're God and we're the one that has to solve every problem. Sometimes we think other people and their expectations and opinions are God and we have to live up to them. Sometimes we think productivity is a God and we have to always be available to work, 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 work. Yahweh is God, Yahweh alone. The word Yahweh comes from the Hebrew verb to be. He is the one who is. He is before all things. He is in all things. He is the ground and foundation of being himself. When you breathe, you can't breathe without saying his name. Yahweh is God and Yahweh alone. Your work is not God. School is not God. Other people's opinions are not God. Your money is not God. Your lifestyle is not God. Sex and romance is not God. Your stuff is not God. This is good news. There is one who is, one who loves, Yahweh who saves, Yahweh who is gracious, Yahweh who is forgiving, Yahweh who is ever present. He is our God and him alone. And you must love the Lord your God, Yahweh, your God, with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. He is worthy of your entire devotion, everything that you are, because he has created all that you are. So give him your heart, your desires, your longing, your passion. He wants more than you could ever dream for you. And he wants more for this world than we could ever dream for this world. He wants our attention because he wants all of us, our hearts, our soul, the deepest part of us, not just what we do, but who we are, given to him, surrendered to him, and all of our strength, all of our enthusiasm, all of the energy that we put into whatever we do and whoever we are becoming. To take his love and internalize it so that whatever you put your energy towards, you do with that pervasive love that he pours into your life, which leads into Jesus' commandment that he says the second is just like it, love your neighbor. Let's go change the world together. So September is the new January, isn't it? I mean, really, for a lot of us, I know the new year is January 1, but for many of us, it's September 1, isn't it? new rhythms. We're coming back to work after having time to go on vacations. For some of you, you're headed back to school this week. Your kids are headed back to school. You're going back into the rhythm. For a lot of us, this is a season we're starting out new. We're starting out into this new cycle that we have. And I get so excited about September. I get excited about the new rhythm. And at the church, things liven up again. People come back. Students come back. People come back from vacations. It's football season. That gets me excited. That's happening next Sunday. It's that new rhythm, but I also know this. Here's my experience this past week. I've had a hectic one. Man, this past week I've had probably too many commitments, a bunch of speaking engagements, a bunch of things to prepare for. You know, as we move through this series, and I've been talking to you and teaching about rest and Sabbath and a good rhythm, I've been challenged by this week because it's just been a hectic week. And to be honest with you, there's moments where I felt overwhelmed. I felt exhausted, tired. I felt stressed out. I felt like there was too much work to do. I felt like the ways that I was working and the things I was preparing weren't good enough. And just, man, feeling... we need this rest so bad. I need this rest so bad to be able to fall back and say, God, man, I trust you. I work hard, but I'm going to trust you even harder. And maybe you need that today too. Maybe going into this week as school starts or your kids' school starts or you're back at work, you're back in the routine, you just need to be reminded that you can rest in who God is and how he's working in your life as well. That you can take time off even when it seems like it's irresponsible to take time off. To trust that God will rejuvenate you and allow you to be productive when you need to be productive so that you can not be productive when you don't need to be productive. So if you're with me, I want you to think about in the next few minutes, what's your biggest worry right now? What's the heaviest weight that you're dealing with? What's your toughest relationship challenge? What scares you the most this season in life? How are we going to keep our hearts quiet and unhurried and rested in a world that continually takes our attention and reminds us of some of those things? Here's my suggestion. We need to make worship the soundtrack of our lives. We need to worship louder than we worry. We need to worship harder than we work. We need to worship more than we watch. And we need to make it as convenient as possible to be reminded of God's commitment to you, to us, and our commitment to him. So here's what I want to do as we close our service, and we're going to sing a little bit more. We're going to worship together. We're going to sing this song. It's not new. It's old. It's been around for a long time, called I Exalt Thee, and it's really repetitive. We're going to sing over and over, I Exalt Thee. And what I'd love for you to do is to think about whatever it is that you're most worried about, what you're working on, what you're distracted by, whatever is most intimidating or concerning, whatever the biggest threats are in your life. And for a few minutes, I just want us to sing, I Exalt Thee, and to think of Yahweh, the one true God. And if you can sing it from your heart, honestly, to sing it and say, God, you are God alone, and I exalt thee. You are greater than all those other things. You're more powerful than all those other things. You're more loving than all those other things could be. You're more gracious than I could ever find in any of those places. I exalt thee, and I give you all of my attention as I bow down and worship Yahweh, who is our God. Yahweh alone we exalt.